Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone. Cassis does it again. Again. It's gone. It's into the bullpen. This game is tied. This game is tied.
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high. It's deep. It's back. It's gone. Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over.
What's up? Welcome back to Play Test. It is episode 213. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, before we get going, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, rate 5 stars, find us on WEEI's YouTube channel where you can subscribe and find all our videos in, or all our episodes in video form on the Play Testy playlist. Find us on the socials at Play Testy on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Here with Sammy. Pat is still in Portugal. He's Portugal Pat. Make it a thing, a hashtag, hashtag Portugal Pat. But yeah, I was, you know, yesterday I was looking forward to opening this podcast with a little bit more excitement. I mean, the vibes were, they were back after an awesome comeback win on Saturday, capped off by a Rafael Devers walk-off home run. But I just, the truth is the Red Sox lost today. They lost another series. They've lost 5 out of 6 games. They've lost 11 out of 16 games. And just like in the Detroit series, you can point to some awesome moments in the series. I mean, Devers with the grand slam today in the finale, down 3-0. He makes it 4-3. Some great moments, but I mean, the team doesn't win games. And there's a thought creeping into my head, and I'm not there yet, but I'm not gonna sit here and sugarcoat how I feel and hold myself back. At the expense, or like at the risk of sounding like an idiot later if the team makes me look stupid. Again, I'm not saying this definitively yet, but the thought has crept into my head that maybe I just need to change my expectations for the team. And maybe the team just isn't in general as good as I thought they were going to be this year, as we thought they were going to be this year, as everyone thought they were going to be this year. There's that small subset of the fan base that's going to tell you, yeah, I told you they were going to suck from before the season. And yeah, but I mean, you could put a team full of Aaron Judges out there and that group is going to say the team's going to suck. But me right now, like I'm very, very close. And we'll, they're playing the Mets next and then the Orioles after that, and both series are at home. We'll have a chance to reevaluate after those two series are played. But I'm getting to the point where I'm thinking I need to readjust my expectations. Maybe in my head the deal needs to be this team isn't good until they show me that they're good, as opposed to before the season we fell victim to what a lot of people do when their teams make big offseason moves, is the people anoint their teams before they've done anything. And we saw this team trade for Crochet and sign Bregman and sign Buehler and sign Chapman and spend money and extend guys and clearly act like a team that wants to win. But the truth is, the players on this team have not proven to us that they are playoff caliber players in the city of Boston yet. And I don't know, Sammy, I'm curious about your take, but I'm getting close to recalibrating my expectations to these guys have not won yet, and I should not believe that they're going to win until they show me that they can do that consistently.
Mm-hmm. I think everything you said is fair. Normally, we're 48 games in right now. They're 23 and 25. Normally, what I would say is it's way too early. You got about 114 games left. My math is correct there. Long way to go. But it's not the wins and losses so much as the way they've lost. All the one-run losses, they're just daggers over and over and over again. Still, early in the season, and it still feels like it's every day. It's a one-run loss, or it's something like today on Sunday as we record, where you have all that momentum from Saturday. You get the Devers Grand Slam on Sunday, and then the Braves score a million unanswered runs, and it's just deflating. So maybe not the record that's got me down, but the way it's all happened. And on top of that, then you have the Devers drama. That's not great to see. You have the fan base clamoring for these guys to come up from AAA. That's not happening yet. When is that going to happen? If that doesn't work, if that doesn't spark the team, then what do we have to turn to? It's like you're kind of running out of things to look towards in the way of making yourself feel better from a fan perspective. Now, what I said earlier, there's a lot of time left. That's the thing I'm clinging on to now. Despite what I just said about the way they're losing, it makes it, you know, a little less punch when I say there's a lot of time left. But that's the truth. Long way to go. I'm not ready to condemn these guys. That's certainly not what you were doing. Not trying to say that. But it's frustrating over and over and over again. And it's basically one step forward, two steps back. And you just keep seeing it over and over and over. And every time you think they're going to turn the corner, they don't. So today, you're going to think I'm insane. Today on Sunday, after that big Devers walk-off, his first walk-off of his career, the first thing I thought in my head was, they're going to lose today. This is what this team does. Like, this is what they've been doing. Every game that they should win, they don't. But then once in a while, they'll surprise you and they'll win a game you don't think they're supposed to win. And that's why you keep clinging on to hope. So it's this balancing act that we're doing as fans. Like, yes, there's a lot of time left. Yes, they have a lot of talent. But look at these losses. They're such bad losses. Does this team not have clutch? It's tough, man. It's a tough spot for a Red Sox fan to be in. Not a crossroads, but something of that ilk.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the time left. We have seen teams be mediocre or even worse than mediocre far deeper into the season than the Red Sox are. Like, we saw the Detroit Tigers sell at the trade deadline and then steamroll their way to the postseason. Like, when I opened the podcast the way I did, it's not me saying they can't do this. It's me sort of saying kind of what you said in a way, because you said you expected them to lose today after the Devers walk off homer. That's what sort of where I'm getting at is maybe that should be the expectation now until they prove otherwise. Because, like, again, like, yeah, the record is the record. It's two games below 500. They're not super far out of a playoff spot. Coming into today, they were two games out, so I don't know where it's at now. It could be three, could be two. I don't know. But I just don't even know how you can go into games with any sort of expectation, because the shine of what they did in the offseason, this is what happens every year with the teams that do this. The shine of the offseason lasts through the offseason, but then once the games are played, that's who you are. And this is just who the Red Sox are, and it's a different thing every time. And Sammy, you talked about bringing the kids up and maybe that being kind of the last ditch effort at a spark here. But look at how they've been playing lately. It's a lot of it can be pointed at the starting pitching. And again, like, we'll probably get on the next podcast after losing two out of three to the Mets and say the bullpen did it. And then they're going to win one
against the Mets.
Maybe. They'll lose two out of three to the Orioles, and it'll be like they scored four runs the entire series. And then the next series, they'll lose two out of three, and it'll be because the starting pitching let up 15 runs. Like, man, this is where we're at right now is the starting pitching. I mean, look at it one by one. Crochet is awesome. Who was supposed to be your number two? We were kind of hoping it was going to be Hauk or Bayo. Hauk is unpitchable to the point where they are now shutting him down from throwing. They're doing everything they can to try to convince us that the injury is real. I'm still going to assume that it's not, and they're just, let's give you a mental break and then we'll come back to this. But it was supposed to be Hauk or Bayo, and Hauk is unpitchable, and Bayo is he's not unpitchable, but where he is not close. Like, this was not just like a blip on the radar. Like, his rep, like, this was coming. He had
his best pitch is gone. His best pitch is just not. It's literally gone. It's not the same changeup. His changeup was great.
It's a sinker. His new changeup is a sinker. It's 90 miles an hour.
And there's nothing wrong with having a 90 mile an hour changeup if you have a ton of separation. Exactly. And he doesn't. So it's like, what is the? It used to be like the parachute ball. He would throw it. It would look great. It would play off the fastball / sinker. He's got the slider. Like, what the fuck? Where'd it go? It's gone. It's straight up gone. So I don't know.
That's like kind of malpractice. It's like malpractice. It's kind of an abomination that he's allowed to go out there with a 90 mile an hour changeup. Like, how can you let that happen?
Like, how does that happen? Have you ever, I was thinking about this right before we started recording.
It happened with Whitlock. When Whitlock was the starter, this is exactly what happened, and it's why he wasn't good. He had no
velocity tick up.
The changeup velocity ticked up, and his fastball and sinker velocity ticked down, and there was barely any separation, so the pitches looked the exact same, and he got crushed. And that's what's happening with Bayo.
So that kind of makes a little more sense. It's a guy in a new role, and the velocity of the fastball and the velocity of the changeup are kind of like closing in on each other. With Bayo, it's the same old role. The fastball is roughly the same, and the changeup is speeding up, but the fastball, like, it's bizarre. I guess Whitlock's the closest.
Why with the changeup? Why with the changeup? How does that happen? It was 86 and a half. When he was at his best, that thing was averaging 86 and a half, and now it's averaging 89 and a half. And it's routinely hitting 90.
That's bizarre.
Like, that's not a major league caliber pitch, and it's frustrating because they were talking about it on the broadcast, but it's true. When he first came up, he was basically a two-pitch pitcher and trying to figure out the slider. Now he's kind of figured out the slider, and I just don't know how Brian Bayo, the guy with the incredible changeup all coming throughout the minors and when he debuted and like multiple years in the majors, how it's gone. And maybe that should be hope for better days ahead, is this start can kind of be like a punch in the face, like, holy shit, buddy, you better figure out that pitch, because I know you were getting away with some shit before. But 5.15 or something, it was over five plus expected ERA heading into this start. All right. So that was never going to last.
That was my next point. I was going to say he also hasn't really looked good at all this season. He's gotten out of some situations, but all the expected stats are like red flag, red flag, red flag. And that's why people roll their eyes. Well, his expected ERA, who cares? It's results driven. It is results driven, but that's a great indicator. So you're not shocked when shit like today on Sunday, when that happens and he gets lit up. And that's without, we haven't even touched on the command or lack thereof.
Going next. Yeah.
No command, dude. That was so, oh, what? I was cracking up at this, like kind of a sad laugh. Dave O'Brien's like, and that's ball four. Bayo walks his third batter of the inning and the bases are loaded with no outs. But on the bright side, the sun is peeking through the clouds.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like, come on, man. There's no bright side. Bases loaded, no outs. You can't get the shutdown inning after Rafi grand slam. This game today is like the complete package of what the 2025 Red Sox are. You have the momentum. You don't use it. You don't get a good start. You walk guys. Your hitting is good to start, and then it disappears. Like, it's everything other than bad defense. This is the complete package for the 2025 Red Sox, wrapped into one, May 18th, 2025. There you go. Enjoy.
I told you guys that I kind of had a little bit of a Bayo take after today, and I listened to it on the radio side, so I didn't get like the full visual of it. But just hearing it described from Fleming, Monaco, and DiNardo, I think Bayo's pitching scared. And I think Bayo, what you're talking about with the command, I get it, but like losing his changeup and all that stuff, like, I still think he's pitching scared, because you're walking Alex Verdugo, for crying out loud. You're walking the number 9 guy. And I mean, it's not just Bayo. It's like, you know, I could point that to Gio Leo too. I don't know if it's a philosophy or anything that Andrew Bailey's putting out there early on, but it's just, I feel like these guys are pitching scared and they don't want to attack.
Would you guys, okay, I'm prefacing this by saying I'm way ahead of myself with this, but maybe I'm not. Do you guys think maybe Boston is not a good fit for Bayo? This is a tough place to play, let alone be a starting pitcher with a lot of expectations. And I don't think he handles it well.
it's hard because you haven't seen him like visibly. Like, obviously, yeah, his innings have spiraled out of control. You know, I don't want to say that because that's generalizing. He's worked his way out of a lot of jams this year. That's why his actual ERA is where it is and his expected ERA is as high as it is. Today, it certainly wasn't that way. Like, you had the momentum from the walk-off last night. Immediately, multiple runs in the first inning, coughs that up. Devers hits the grand slam to go ahead, immediately gives the lead right back. Like, today it wasn't there. I don't want to say that Boston's not right for the guy when it feels like maybe mentally he's made some strides. But again,
yeah,
it's hard to tell because like you don't hear easy. A lot from him because he doesn't like English isn't his first language, so you don't get to exactly know what he's saying when he speaks to the media, and it's not like you're getting a great picture of who he is as a person. But I don't know. I can't say yes or no there.
I don't think Boston has anything to do with it. I think this is all Bayo, where at least in this stretch, like today, you could clearly see signs from the past where he would be emotionally rattled and that would affect everything. Like, yes, he's made those strides, but today was incredibly ugly. And I think you could put him in any market and it's probably the same thing. Because, I mean, the Pedro comparisons didn't do him any favors. But I think everyone has sort of scaled back on that. And now it's kind of like, okay, whatever he is, he is. Like, Pat's ceiling is like a number three or a number four. I think all of us would be pretty satisfied. We just want to see a good starting pitcher out
there.
Yeah,
quality start. Six innings, three earned runs.
He's not going to be the two. I'm past that at this point. But the Red Sox do need a two from somewhere. Like, I'll keep going down the line because that's how this conversation got started. But going into the season, you know, Crochet has been Crochet, and like, thank God for that. Love that guy. He's awesome.
Better than advertised, if anything. Yeah. He's been amazing. Agreed. Two ERA. Come on.
And including in his start during this series, he was amazing.
Two Gordo, homers. His start during this series. Can you give me what you thought his yell sounded like when he came off the mound in the seventh inning?
Ah! Something like that.
Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah! All right.
I did it again! Strike three! Yes!
It sounds like
Bowser. He's calling his own strike threes. We make him sound like Bowser.
We need to find the video of Bowser in Mario Baseball when he strikes out because he goes, yeah, like that's the way.
All right. Sorry for derailing your point. Okay, so Crochet, you were saying Crochet great. Yep.
They were supposed one of the two of Hauk and Bayo was supposed to be a number two. Hauk unpitchable. Bayo, like, let's figure it out and maybe hope you can be in this rotation. Maybe that's an overreaction, but he's not looked good even when the results are there.
I think it's fair to say before the season, if you told either of us Hauk is going to be a number three starter, we'd all be like, "Ah, really? I thought he could have been a two. That sucks.
But understandable.
He's not even a fucking five right now." So
yeah,
that's the big one. That has to be the big one. I hate it to say it. I don't like ragging on guys when they're down. Tanner Hauk clearly not well right now. So I hate to say it, but that's the biggest disappointment so far.
That was our expectations heading into the season, and it hasn't been met. And basically, like, my thought process at least was if Hauk doesn't put it all together like he did in the first half, and he's kind of more the second half Hauk, well, you've got plenty good chance that Brian Bayo, who's shown all the potential in the world, can take that step, and he hasn't done that. And then you've got Giolito, who has been really good, really bad, really good, really bad, and you definitely can't count on him to get like he's going to be a guy for the foreseeable future where if he goes I'm not saying he's incapable of giving you good starts, he's going to give you good starts, but you can't go into the start expecting it to be good. You got to see it first.
I would put Giolito and Buehler in the same kind of realm, like guys who have been ones and twos in the past, injuries, who are coming back. You hope one of those two guys sticks and could be maybe the two or the three in your rotation, and it's really been like
Buehler,
like
maybe.
Giolito, yeah, more bad than good, some signs of life, and then Buehler looked good, and now then he gets hurt. So it's like,
right. Because that's the thing is you've had a couple of guys who've looked good and then they got hurt. You have Buehler who looked pretty good and got hurt, and then Fitz who looked really good and got hurt. And as you see with a lot of pitchers coming off of injury, just because they were good before the injury doesn't mean they're going to be the same after it. Regardless of what the injury it is, it derails your season. Like, you have to get back right on the saddle, right where you were. And some guys can do that, but especially with the amount of time, particularly Fitz has missed, like, would it surprise you if he comes back and he's not quite the same? Like, we can't necessarily count on that.
He's not a guy with a track record either. As much as great as he was to start 2025 and as good as he was in 2024 in his cup of coffee, not exactly a big track record. And then I feel like the forgotten guy in all of this is Cutter Crawford. Like,
that's
he
where
just
I was going
fell
next.
Off the map early. Like, he,
nope,
we even wouldn't think he would be, yeah, like, what the, just got it. And he threw off the mound a few weeks back when we were at Fenway, and it looked like maybe he was going to ramp up. And then I haven't really heard much.
He's been doing that pretty much ever since. Like, it's been live BPs, you know, just more bullpens.
What is it?
I don't know
knee
when
thing?
He's, yeah, knee thing. That's but so it, weird. Here's the thing, Sammy, is it feels to me like almost like with the way they're taking him, it feels like it's a pain management thing. And it feels like they fucked up in not having him get surgery in the offseason for this injury that was a thing last season. And now it's just about getting him through the season with this ailment. So who even knows how good he can be when he eventually makes it back, if he makes it back?
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Like, right. You know, okay, I got a take. You know what it feels like with the Red Sox? Just talking about, I'm not talking about like Crochet, Giolito, Bueller. Talking about guys like Hauk, Bayo, Cutter, guys who like homegrown guys, throw Dobbins in there, Fitz. It feels like there's a developmental hump that this organization can't get over. Like you 100%. Get guys like Bayo, looks good when he breaks onto the scene. And then he just stops. Right now, Hunter Dobbins looks really good. Is he going to be able to get over that hump? I hope so. He looks great. It's hard to not feel confident, but we've seen it before. Same with Fitz. Looks really good. to start 2025, look good in 24, like I said. Will he get over the hump? I don't know. It seems like they can't get these guys to that next level. Maybe it's because none of the aforementioned guys are top flight pitching prospects. The closest would be Bayo, yeah, who is a very good but not great pitching prospect. They don't really have, like, the closest in the organization right now, what would you say, like Perales, who also
They've got guys, yeah, who are young and could get there. Like, they're in the low minors, so they're not going to be like top 50. But Bayo was a top 50 prospect. I'd consider him a top flight pitching prospect.
Top 50, yeah, but not like a Garrett Crochet, like a monstrous, like this is it, like a Roman Anthony. That's a bad example. Like a
he's not a top 10 prospect in the game. He's Meyer, not Andrew Painter, but like
right, like a guy like that, like a guy who's ranked in that Meyer realm, like top 25 ish, like can't miss sure, prospects. They don't have those guys. They haven't for a while, and I'm okay with that. I think it's much harder to develop pitching than it is hitting. So why not just draft the hitters, acquire pitchers like Crochet? I get that, but you need to have some semblance of homegrown guys, and the guys they've brought up, they haven't been terrible. It's just the development seems like it stops at that midpoint.
This is an interesting conversation. I think it was before we got on, you were telling me about, I think this wasn't on air, but you were saying how you don't like when people blame coaching staffs for players not performing, blame the players on the field. And almost always that's my mindset too. Like, I hate the blame Pete Fatsy stuff, but with the pitching, yeah, it is an interesting discussion because they overhauled their pitching development program at all levels of the organization. And in the low minors, they're having guys break through, increase velocity, become top 100 prospects. It looks great in single A, high A, double A, and haven't really seen it get to triple A yet. So we'll see where the kind of that developmental hiccups is. But one thing I know is that at the big league level, it just has not felt like what they're doing is working with the guys that they have. There aren't a lot of guys that it feels like they are taking and elevating to that next level. It feels like guys like Dobbins, Fitz, Slayton, guys that they can get them to the majors and they can get them success. But like, when they bring in a guy like Giolito, a guy like Buehler, like you said, Sammy, these are guys that have all-star pedigree, Cy Young vote pedigree. And, you know, go to Bayo. That's a guy who has top prospect pedigree. And like, these are guys.
He's the big one. Bayo's the one we really got to look at.
Hauk's another.
What's going on here? But yeah, Hauk, like, another guy who.
There's so many guys here that should be so good and just aren't. Like, it's so frustrating because the rotation was supposed to be a strength. I think I even called it this team's biggest strength entering the season. And they have one guy right now that you can count on for success. I hope Hunter Dobbins continues to do generally what he's been doing. He's looked really good. But there is no one in this rotation that is like, this guy is a one or a two. They may not even have a guy right now active that I would say is a number three. It's Crochet. And after that, toss your hands up and hope for the best.
Yeah, it's tough. And that was off air when I said I don't like when people blame the coaching staff. But when it's organizationally wide, like, then there's, you kind of look like, all right, there's something here. But like you said, with guys like Brandon Clark, Peyton Tolley, Perales in the low minors and in double A, I'm kind of like, yeah, early, another good one. I'm kind of like, all right, let's wait before we condemn the pitching program, because it looks like the guy, I mean, it hasn't been that long.
Two separate things.
At the major league level, I mean, like, look what they've done with Crochet. Like, he changes the delivery a little bit, taking off a little bit of velocity, pounding the strike zone, looks unbelievable. Small adjustments to an already great pitcher, looks good. Cool. Great there. Look at Chapman throwing more strikes than ever. Great. So they take these guys who are already, you know, kind of developed, and they tweak them a little bit, and that's been working. But guys like you said, Buehler or Giolito, Buehler, not a good example. Giolito, who needs a little bit of refinement, who just got hurt, he's coming back. You know, it's early on him, but still, like, I don't know. Like, how much trust do you have in the Red Sox pitching pipeline? I still feel very confident in it. I hear the people who are questioning it. I think it's fair to have questions about it, but I wouldn't say like, oh, I'm concerned with the pitching pipeline. It just hasn't been long enough, in my opinion. They've been here for
two questions,
not even a year and a half. Yeah.
It's two totally different schools of thought here. Cause like, am I hopeful that long term they're going to have a pitching pipeline that's going to be constantly producing quality major league pitchers? Yes, I do. I think you're seeing the results of that in the low minors right now. And I don't think that there should be any questions about that. But at the big league level, are they making the right adjustments? Are they coaching their guys? Like it's so hard to talk about. And this is why I hate talking about coaching, because you don't get to watch what they do in those sessions. Like we know nothing. Yeah. All we can evaluate it on is the results on the field. But all I can tell you is that there are starting pitchers in this rotation that have ceilings that they're not even coming close to. That's all I can say. So yeah. it needs to be better. With Bale last year, he was mediocre for a long time. And I'd kind of thrown in the towel on his season last year, and it was right around that time where he turned his season around. So I'm not saying that you should throw in the towel on anybody, especially a guy like Giolito, who's four starts in following a year-long absence. So
right, yeah, he's I'm not got saying a long way to go. Towel. On Bayo, just to wrap up the conversation on Bayo, because I don't want it to come off as if we're like Bayo stinks. We don't believe in like it's you got a guy struggling. You got to call it out. We don't like doing it, but Brian Bayo now. That was his 77th major league game. He's pitched over 400 innings, 4.39 ERA with a 1.4 whip. 26 years old. Just not really what you thought you were getting when he was coming up through the minors. I mean, he was on a tear
and extended.
Coming up through the minors. Yep, extended early, opening day starter 2024. I know the rotation wasn't great. He's still the opening day starter. It's frustrating. And I resent everyone who did those Pedro comparisons. That was so dumb.
Same thing with the Mookie comps with Sedan. That one was there will never be a more egregious comp than Mookie.
That was Sedan. So stupid. Oh, he's short and plays good defense and he's right-handed. That's Mookie Betts. Come on, man.
Skinny prospect can hit home runs in AAA. Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
All right. We've got a couple other things we should definitely touch on here. I guess maybe before we transition into the next full-blown conversation, do just want to point out that on our last podcast, we had a conversation about the lack of production from the leadoff spot in Jaren Duran. He had a great series. Cora talked about it, actually. I think maybe both of them with the media about how they were looking at his video from facing Chris Sale a year ago, and his numbers kind of looked the exact same at the exact same part of the season. And it was kind of right around now that he took off. And maybe that gave Jaren Duran some confidence that it would happen, but he had a terrific series and he was like, the Devers walk-off home run was the moment of that game, but Jaren Duran's fingerprints were all over that comeback. He hit the two-run homer to put the Sox on the board. He threw out Verdugo at home plate on defense. He hit the two-run game-tying single. That comeback was weird watching Devers walk off the field and not do the post-game interview with Ken Rosenthal. Didn't even give them the chance to ask. But Jaren Duran was also very deserving of that interview. So shout out to him and hope that he continues to build off that, because as we've said a million times, when he goes, this team will go. He had a pretty good game in today's game,
right? I do got to mention one little fingerprint that you didn't, and I think everyone has sort of overlooked, is that after he tied the game, he gets thrown out at second. So you know,
which I was okay with.
Yeah, but you know who leads off the next inning is Rafi Devers, and Devers hits the shot.
Devers got to see multiple pitches from Pierce Johnson and then got to go sit in the dugout and marinate on that and think, okay, he just did this, and I get to go see him again. Here's what he's going to do.
Because Duran got thrown out, whether purposeful or not.
That was so funny, that Pierce Johnson at bat with Devers, when he's throwing, like, throws his little wrinkly slider for a strike, misses, not even close, with two fastballs, not even remotely near the strike zone. After that, I said, come on, he's going to hammer this. If this guy throws a slider to Rafi right now, you should just honestly put the guy on. Can't locate the fastball at all, only have one pitch, and he throws it up in the zone. Rafi's like, thank you.
Yeah.
Easy. Well, that's easy for Rafi.
Yeah. Huge moment. I wish they could have built off it, but going back to our last pod.
Crazy that was his first walk-off too. Like I know
it's not his first walk-off.
Oh yeah, that's Sorry, walk-off home run. That's crazy. I feel like he's done it 10 times in my head, but no, he hasn't.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Duran playing a lot better. Hopefully he builds on that. We talked about that in our last pod. We also talked about Nick Birdie hopefully getting the call at some point. He got called up and pitched. I mean, he let up a bunch of base runners. Didn't let anyone in. But hopefully he put up a couple of zeros. Second outing, it was five base runners in two innings. But again, a zero on the board, and hopefully he's just finding his footing, and we'll see where it goes. But again, anything to catch lightning in the bottle. The one thing that we talked about that didn't happen, Trevor Story, is his OPS is at 618. But the conversation we do need to have, and did we talk about Campbell at first base on last pod? Is that another thing we talked about?
I mentioned it. Yeah, because we were having the conversation. We talked about it. Yeah, I said, like, I kept saying, put him at fucking first base. And then you had your hypothetical, like, all right, if that's not an option, what would you do?
Right.
So we did. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it. Campbell now has worked at first base three straight games, pre-game three straight times. I have no idea how it's actually going. I saw him doing it at Fenway on Saturday. It looked fine. I only caught the back part of it, though, so I didn't see the whole thing. In the videos, it looks fine, but really, the truth is, you're not going to know how he's going to fare until you get in full speed major league games, and it's not going to be an easy transition. There's going to be hiccups. There's going to be mistakes, errors, missed picks, if he even plays the position. But to me, the obvious thing here, when every day you see Christian Campbell working at first base, you got to check that AAA lineup and see where Marcelo Meyer's playing, because he's now played second base two out of the last three games. To me, it should be three out of the last three games. Anything to get one of Yoshida, Anthony, Meyer to the majors. Christian Campbell, work at first base 10, 12, 14 days. If he can play the position, you roll it out there. Marcelo comes up and plays second base. That's fine. To me, would I rather, like, the question in my head is, who would I rather have in the lineup, Trevor Story or Nick Sogard, Abraham Toro? And the fact that that's even a question in my mind is crazy. But it is a worthwhile question to ask. Because at that point,
weird thing to hear ever. But it's right. Like, you're right.
What is the better Red Sox lineup? Story at short, Meyer at second, Campbell at first, or Meyer at short, Campbell at second, and Sogard at first?
I still think Meyer at short, Story at second, Campbell at first. I still think that's the best lineup, because and Lou talked about this on the broadcast. And this is really like picking and choosing when I'm using certain stats, but I'm going to do it anyway. I feel like Story's defense, not as good as it was last year. Not saying that. But I don't think it's been as bad as the metrics say. I think he's still fairly smooth. It looks a little weird. It looks like he might have some tweak or something that we don't know about. I don't know. But I think if you put him at second, you have the chance that he bounces back. I'm like laughing at myself as I say that. And then I think he'd be a good defender at second base like he was in 2022. And just having him out there with Marcelo Meyer has to be like a calming feeling for Marcelo to not be on an island. You're in the middle infield and who's next to you? It's like another rookie. Oh my God. Like, we're out here all on our own. Or it's Nick Sogard, who's also fairly new to this team. Like, it would be good for him to have a veteran on the middle infield with him. So that's what I still think that's the best option right now, but that is subject to change. I literally can't even talk about Story bouncing back without like giggling and feeling like a fool. But
in a perfect world, you find someone that can play first base, and maybe it comes from outside the organization. Maybe they continue having those conversations with Devers. As of right now, I mean, the fact that they're working at Christian Campbell at first base, it does kind of point to Devers is probably not playing there anytime soon. But maybe at some point, Bob Nightingale kind of, I wouldn't say he hit, the way he phrased it was like, hey, if the Red Sox, you know, still want a first baseman, if the Brewers suck at the trade deadline, Rhys Hoskins might be a perfect fit. And it was kind of weirdly phrased, like connecting it to the Red Sox, but not really saying that it's connected to the Red Sox. But like, if they got a Rhys Hoskins at the deadline and played Christian Campbell at second, when a lefty prospect comes up, the Red Sox almost always platoon them right off the bat. They did it with Devers. They did it with Casas. They did it with Duran. They do it with all these guys. So they're going to do it with Meyer, who's had a history of splits problems in AAA. Trevor Story, here's his splits. Against lefties, he's got an 898 OPS. Against righties, he's got a 562 OPS. He is the perfect platoon partner for Marcello as he makes the transition to the majors. If Story, you know, hits well, then yeah, maybe you funnel him into the lineup, find ways to get him playing time. But again, June 1st is my deadline for him. He needs to be playing better by then. And, you know, maybe Marcello Meyer is going to be up here playing second base by then. But if Trevor Story continues to struggle, I want my future shortstop playing shortstop and not having a guy with who's maybe about to have a sub 600 OPS standing in the way of that.
$140 million player who might be DFA'd due to performance. Yeah, I hear you. You know how I feel about Marcello platooning. I don't love it. I'm fine with them easing him in, kind of like maybe a few weeks of platooning, but I want him playing as much as possible. There's certain matchups maybe you keep him away from, but if you're facing like let's say Sean Newcomb were on a different team. Sean Newcomb was facing the Red Sox. I'm not going to hide Marcello Meyer from Sean Newcomb. Like, you got to ease him in at some point. And you're totally right. They have done this. They did it with Benintendi. They did it with Devers. Haven't really done it with Campbell because he's pretty split neutral.
But he's a righty. He's
right. You're saying lefty specifically.
Right, because if you platoon the righty, he's just never going to play.
All right, Abreu as well. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I guess like I'm more okay with that idea than I was a few days ago, but I still just like, yeah, and I just don't love Story on the bench. Like, if he's not picking it in the middle infield, as he kind of is not right now, like, what's he even doing for you? Why do you even have him on the team at that point? It's just weird, man. I wish they would just do Marcello at short, Story at second. If Story really, really blows at the deadline, cut ties. And like I said last episode, if they do that, I know he's the leader and everything. People like him. Seems like a good guy by all accounts, but the clubhouse will have to understand at a certain point. Like, results. You need results at some point.
I mean, Sammy, the Dodgers literally just DFA'd Austin Barnes and Chris Taylor in like a few day span. Those are the two longest tenured Dodgers there for multiple championships, leaders on that team. And they cut ties because the performance isn't there. And they have kids, they have Dalton Rushing like ready to go. And so they call him up and he plays.
And they're a win now team. They fancy themselves a contender. Shocker. The Dodgers think they're a good team and they're operating that way. And I'm not saying the Red Sox need to be more urgent. Like, I'd like them to call up.
They have been.
I think they have
outside
been.
Outside of the prospects, they have operated more urgently.
Right. And I'd like them to call up Anthony and Meyer like sooner rather than later, but it's still May. So I'm not like, what are you doing? You need to call him up. And he also like, do you really want to? It's so tough, man. Like, when the hell do you bring them up? Do you want to put them in this situation where the vibes are shit, but at the same time, like, they're big league players up here. They're going to turn the page easily. I don't know, man. It's tough calls. People make it seem like it's so simple. Just call them up. They'll add the spark. Well, what if they don't add the spark? Then what do you do? Like, a lot to think about for Cora and Co. and Breslow and everyone, blah, blah, blah.
The truth is you can call the prospects up, and I would call the prospects up. I would call them up, and you'd have a better lineup if you did it, but there are issues on this team. This team has not been good enough in any facet of the game, leading the AL in strikeouts, leading the AL in errors, leading the AL in blown saves. Starters ERA is, I believe, 23rd in baseball. So,
great.
Yeah, you one can call those lost. Guys up. Yeah, the one run, like, but you can call those up, and it's going to help the offense, and maybe in some cases it could help the defense. But what it's not going to help is if Bayo goes out there and lets up seven, if Giolito goes out there and lets up six, if any of these, like, you're going to need a full rotation of major league caliber starters. You're going to need a bullpen with guys who you can trust in the seventh and eighth innings. And yeah, you need to improve the offense, and they have the means to do that and haven't done it. They don't necessarily have, like, they don't have reinforcements coming with the pitching. Like,
no.
Luis Guerrero and Nick Birdie are not going to be like the saviors of this bullpen. Most likely.
That's depth. That's good depth right there. That's it. I wish, I don't know. I don't want to talk about the bullpen again. We've
done a lot of
horse to death, but like the rotation.
They were good. They were good on Saturday. Give them their credit. They also, they like, who was it? It was Birdie. It was Whitlock, Chapman. I'm forgetting one. Who else pitched? Wasn't Slayton.
Was Hendricks that day?
No, because he was not good in the first game.
Which game are you talking about? Oh, sorry. You were talking about second game?
Was it just those four?
Yeah, Weiser, it was just those four. Okay. There,
it was Bernardino, it was Birdie, Whitlock, and Chapman. But Birdie,
they all meld together. A lot of them meld. These games meld together when they're all so similar. They're all like game one and game three were like the same game. And then game two was great, but we didn't even get 24 hours to feel good about it. So that's the story of this whole season. Like, you feel good, and it's fleeting feelings of goodness.
Yeah.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've got one more question for you. I know we got to get to enough said, but I talked about it with Rob on the radio, and Lou Merlone had a dog walking video where he kind of discussed it. Where is it? Can you point to these guys' youth? The fact that a lot of them are second year guys, they haven't won yet. They don't necessarily know how to win, and they're young. Can you point to that as a reason to justify the Red Sox struggles? Like, is that acceptable? I want to get your take on it, and then I'll give you mine as a response.
I think it's certainly part of it. It's going to come off sounding like an excuse. It's not an excuse. It's just a fact. It's hard to win in Major League Baseball. And when you have less experience, it makes it harder. So like you can have a guy like Christian Campbell who doesn't know, oh, do I have a roommate? Oh, this is all new and great and everything. But you also need those salty veterans, which I thought that Alex Bregman would have done a lot to alleviate. He still might, again, just may. But I think that's a fair critique. Not an excuse. It's a critique of the roster construction. It's very, very young. And this part of it, growing pains. You're going to go through them.
And here's what I have to say to that. Because Rob and Lou both gave that opinion. And I want to push back on it a little bit. Because you see a team like the Royals have a ton of success. A team like the Tigers have a ton of success. Like you see these teams across, like not every team with success is built like the Philadelphia Phillies. Like there's a lot of young teams mm-hmm. having success, and you see examples in sports all the time of teams with young kids having success, and it's like, well, they don't even know what they're doing. They're just doing it. And it's like, that's working for them. I'm not saying that the three of you guys are making an excuse for them, because the truth is like, yeah, if you haven't won at this level before, you haven't won at this level before. And if you're young and trying to find your footing at the major league level, then you're young and you're trying to find your footing at the major league level. And there are a lot of guys on this team at that age range. Like we forget all the time that Carlos Narvaez is a rookie. Like that's crazy. I mean, he doesn't look like mm-hmm. a rookie, but there's a lot of those guys on this team. But the truth is
Crochet's not a veteran very much. Like this is his second full season.
Yeah,
come on, man. I mean, it's young. That's the guy who's heading your rotation. He's doing a great job, but like,
yeah,
young.
But they're teams that have rosters that are younger and less experienced. Like the Red Sox, they got Alex Bregman to kind of even this out. Like, yes, they had a young team last year and they went 500. We need the veteran that's gonna talk to you at the batting cage and be your kind of sounding board for ideas as you try to figure out this life. And you bring that guy in. Walker Buehler, yeah. He could be that JD guy on Martinez the pitching side. Aroldis Chapman has been known to be that guy in bullpens for multiple teams before he got here. So like you've got those guys. Like who on the Royals, like what are they all talking to Bobby Witt? Are the Tigers all talking to Tarek Skubal?
Gordo, what do you think about this? I think, and again, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I don't want to make excuses for this team. They've underperformed. We both agree. But do you think, kind of something I brought up earlier in this episode, I think it's much harder to be a young player and succeed in Boston than it is in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Specifically Kansas City. That's a good, you know, comparison. That is a small market team. It's quiet. You know, they probably have what, 3-4 beat writers at every game. Boston, you got like 8 of them. You're under a microscope all the time. The radio shows here are ruthless. Social media, young guys on social media, they're seeing their names get ripped to shreds by the fan base every night. These are the guys these fans are supposed to be supporting me. They're ripping me to shreds. I went 0-4 one night. What about the night before? I went 2-5 with a home run. Like, that's not easy. I genuinely think, and again, not an excuse, just saying this has to factor in. Playing in Boston can be a nightmare. On the flip side, when it's October and the Red Sox make the playoffs, like in 2021, and you're the opposing team and you have to come to Fenway, that's the flip side of it. That's when it's a benefit. Welcome to the fucking Thunderdome. It's going to suck for you. You're going to hear it from the fans. But when times are rough, they're extra rough in Boston. And I just don't think you get the same thing in like Kansas City or like San Diego, a smaller market, more kind of the Angels. Like, you're not going to get that. It's just different. The Rays, another good example. So, yeah, young teams can succeed. I thought that 2018 team was fairly young compared to other Red Sox teams, but hard thing to do in Boston.
Yeah, no, it should be taken into account. That's a good point, Sammy. And yeah, like the Red Sox and Boston sports in general, incredible fan bases here in the city. What other team could be 2 games under 500 and have the environment that there was at Fenway Park on Saturday night? It's the truth. Like that's a special environment that winning baseball can create in this city, and it doesn't happen everywhere. And
it's the flip side.
Yeah. When it's good, it's good. But when it's bad, it's bad. And you know, we have to these guys' credit, we haven't had a lot of examples of players coming out and saying the wrong thing in the media like we have in the past. Like generally when teams struggle, usually there's one or two players on the Red Sox that will say the wrong thing in the media and fans will just rip them for not being accountable. Haven't really had that this year. So hopefully these guys can kind of see, you know, the fan base is here. It's really passionate and it's going to hold you accountable, but when you succeed, it'll all be worth it, but got to succeed.
We got it in a different way. The media stuff though with Devers, we had it. It just wasn't because of the wins and losses.
That's true. Devers, yeah. Yeah.
Different drama though.
Different
drama.
Yeah. Different thing. You're right. That was not an ideal situation. Should we do some Nuff Said?
Yeah. Joe, I sent you a Nuff Said atop our chat that I want to go over. A good, nice, lighthearted laugh, if you will.
Here we
so
go.
Yeah, this is the bleacher creatures at Yankee Stadium, they all collectively turned their back to Juan Soto when he took the field at Yankee Stadium in his return. That is the dorkiest shit I have ever seen in my life. Like, what are you doing? He doesn't care about you guys. He doesn't give a shit. He has $700 million now. He played for the Yankees for 1 year, and these guys act like this is a guy who played forever for the Yankees, and then he just left. For like, you knew this was going to happen. You knew there was a good chance this was going to happen when you traded for him, Yankees fans. Come on. Like, this is so dorky, and they're all like, we're going to turn our backs at the same time. That's really going to show him how we feel, and he's going to regret. Look at him. He's laughing at them. He's just fucking laughing in their faces. The dorkiest thing I've ever seen. I don't know, Gordo. What do you think?
I actually think it's kind of funny. I think it's kind of funny. It's not. It's not like
it is. It's hilarious.
If they wanted it to come off as like a "fuck you, Juan," that's not. It's coming off as more of like a "you left us" and like "go fuck yourself" like that. Which is like, it's kind of funny.
They did want it to. Like, I think they did want it to be like a "fuck you." Yeah, this is what you get. We don't like you anymore. That's crushing you inside, and we know it. It's just not.
Yeah.
It's so dorky.
I think it's kind of funny. I think it's kind of clever. I got to tell you, Sammy. I think it's kind of clever. If we had the entire right field bleachers turn their backs on a player, like, that would be kind of funny.
It's one of those things where it's a good idea, and it sounds good in your head, or it sounds good on paper, and then when you see it executed, it's like, probably could have been better. So like, I'm sort of with you, Gordo, where it's like, I think it's funny, but Sammy, you're right. It's them trying to be all hardo and whatever, and it just
doesn't come off like
that. Opposite. Yeah, it was the total opposite.
To be funny, like I agree, it's funny, but it's funny because they wanted it to be like, hey, we're tough guys. You don't get our love anymore, man. Get out of here, Soto. You're with the Mets now. And he's literally laughing. He's like, oh my God, look at this clown show.
And in that moment, he's probably thinking, I am really glad I left for the New York Mets.
Yeah, what's the reaction supposed to be, man? Like, oh man, look how united they all are. I really made a mistake with my $700 million contract. Crazy, crazy to me.
All right, my enough said. We haven't talked at all about the uniforms yet. So first off, they crushed it. The uniforms are awesome. Anyone disagree with that?
No, I like them a lot.
Yeah, I will be getting some merch. My enough said, though, is I got to tell you, I am a little bit hurt that they gave a bunch of care packages to a bunch of like podcasters, social media people, all that, but they didn't reach out to us. I was a little bit hurt. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Would have been nice. Would have been nice to get one, but it's expensive. The Red Sox are only worth like $9.8 billion. So we can't fault them for that.
Yeah.
They do look good though. I give them an 8.4 out of 10. Very, very good. Not quite perfect, small things I would change, but overall, super happy with the City Connects. And I'm glad they didn't overthink it. I'm glad they didn't do like green pants or some shit, or like yellow pants, like something crazy. It's a nice green jersey, Red Sox on the front. I thought I was going to say Boston because it's the City Connect. Nope, Red Sox. I like the little, on the numbers, how they have a little hangy thing that they use on the actual green monster. And then the yellow accenting, I think, is the best part. The yellow numbers, the little, yes, like the foul pole looking look. Love that. Yeah, good job. The socks are cool too. And the
pants, the piping monster on the pants is really good. Yep. The only thing I think I would have done is figured out how to integrate some of the yellow into the hats. That would have been like a must get. And the hats that I think look the best, I haven't even seen them for sale anywhere. It's the hats they gave away in the care packages that we didn't get, which was the Oakland A's looking ones with the yellow brim and the green hat, and they say Boston across the front. Like, those are super cool. So Red Sox, hook your guys up, man. We
if
watch
Pete,
all the games.
If PETA can give us live tweet all the,
yeah, PETA gave us a shit ton of merch that no one likes, but yeah, they gave us a shit ton of merch. We want your merch, and it's not too late. So hook your boys up, all right?
You know what would have been nice? Just a little yellow trim around the B on that. Yes, very subtle, small, like subtle trim. But I said that to my friend who's like really into like sports uniforms fashion. He said, yeah, he's like, a lot of people have said that to me, but sometimes yellow on top of white doesn't look good and it looks kind of washed out, which is that's why he thinks they didn't do it. So I don't know. I would have done a little bit of yellow on the hat.
He actually is right. Yellow on top of white would look a little bit.
I know.
Way to have like yellow around the green, like some sort of, I don't know, like what, you know, those hats with like the, that have like the string in between the brim and the hat part.
Yeah.
Not like have that, cause that'd be weird, but like just like a color. I don't know. We have to brainstorm this. They could have, having some yellow on the hats would make them very much must get.
I know Sammy's answer to this, but Gordo, do you prefer these ones over the yellow ones?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Not even close. Come on, dude.
Well, that's why I ignored you, Sammy. I knew your answer.
The thing about the yellow ones is what made them so great is them winning in them. Like the uniforms themselves, I never bought one. I have the City Connect like sleeveless. I think it was like a basketball jersey. It was like a Kike Hernandez like sleeveless jersey. I have that, but I enjoyed that them wearing them because it to me it meant they were gonna win. They're 0-1 in the greens. That does not mean the greens are cursed, but
yeah. See, I'm not a like jinx or like this jersey means the win kind of guy. So I hate.
See, I am with purchasing them. It's why like I'm not gonna touch any jersey with a number on it or anything like that, because that player will ultimately leave. Because that's just
how I only buy retro sports jerseys for that reason, because they're expensive as hell. And I want to get one that will age well. The only exception was Kristaps Porzingis, because my Latvian brother.
May his Celtics career rest in peace, because he is most certainly gone.
Very,
very sad how that season ended. That hurt. But that's going to do it for episode 213 of Playtest. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on the WEI YouTube channel. Got the Playtest playlist there where it has all our episodes where you should rate 5 stars. And find us on the socials at Playtest on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here for episode 213 of Playtest. Please, Red Sox, win a series. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install.
style every room effortlessly. With classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments. All backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.